will keep you safe. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I'm ready for it.
A little bit cooler than it was, but it's pretty hot out here. Thank you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Great birthday.
Yeah, it's his birthday today, not yesterday.
No! And they did it on his birthday?
Yep.
Nice birthday, isn't it? Birthday. Wonderful birthday. They were saying happy birthday. I was with.
I could tell the crowd, they got to that part in the song and they're not sure. Happy birthday, Donald. Happy birthday, Trump.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
Mr. President.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, what are you saying at that point? But okay, yeah.
Now I do think it might be just a little politically.
Today's his birthday and yesterday was the arraignment.
I was with Eric and Laura, the kids. Happy birthday, Grandpa. Happy. And I said, oh, great. I just got charged with, they want 400 years approximately. If you add them all up, a fake 400 years. Oh, thank you, darling. That's so nice. It's a wonderful birthday. We're going to make it into the greatest birthday of all. We'll make it into the greatest day ever.
So what was the substance of the speech?
Joe Biden broke the law, and in many other ways we're finding out, and so far has not gotten indicted. I did everything right, and they indicted me.
There you go. That's the argument, is they didn't indict Hillary. They didn't indict Biden. They're coming after him, and what he did was no wrong. He did nothing wrong. Everything is okay. It's all, you know, the same day they indicted me, there was this information that comes out that that Joe Biden allegedly took a $5 million bribe from, you know, Burisma back in the day when he was vice president. And he says this is all cover up for that. And they shouldn't be indicting me because there's this, you know, unwritten rule that you don't indict presidents no matter what.
Now that the seal, so important, is broken. The seal is broken by what they've done. They should never have done this. This was an unwritten rule. You just don't, unless it's really bad. But you just don't. But the seal is now broken.
And I don't think there's anybody saying that what he did, even if it's the full of what he's alleged to have done, is really bad, because no actual harm has come, though, you know, it's a matter of handling classified documents and, you know, refusal to cooperate with the investigators who are trying, or the archivist trying to get these, trying to recover these documents and, you know, obstruction, but it's obstruction of a, you know, this thing that doesn't seem to be all that important. So, and he says, look, I'm coming after Biden then. If this is how he's going to do me, I'm going to do him too, same way.
I will appoint a real special prosecutor to go after the most corrupt president in the history of the United States of America, Joe Biden. And the entire Biden crime family, name a special prosecutor.
See, it's weird, because if you're going to make the argument that you shouldn't go after former presidents, and then you turn around and say, but I'm going to go after a former president, I mean, that does start to look a little bit like hypocrisy. But
were they shouting, lock him up?
Yeah, like they were. Lock him up.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And all
lock him up. That was the chant. What his argument would be, well, he did it first. Well, he did it first is not a good justification of behavior ever. If the thing is wrong, the thing is wrong, even if they did it first. But let's get back to the actual argument here, because I will tell you what I was hoping for in this speech was I was hoping last night that he would give an explanation of his behavior that would exculpate him, that would make it so that he's not legally liable or subject to these laws. And that would make sense to me, and I'd be like, and I, honestly, I would love nothing more than to be able to look at the totality of the circumstances here in these charges and be like, this is clearly political, this is clearly unjustified, he did not break any laws, and he's going to wind up being not guilty, and wow, this is crazy times. That's what I would like to be able to say about this. I wish I could say that about, I cannot say that about this. And his speech did not deliver an explanation that would give me the legal, philosophical, commentary ability to say that with integrity. So I'll explain in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Not showing any slowdowns or delays. Watching one accident. This is in Jay, certainly at the north end of the county. It's Escambia Avenue and Spring Street. But again, not showing a roadblock this morning. On the roads, 90 looking clear from Milton into Pace, into Pea Ridge into Pace, into Pensacola. Not showing any problems there either. Text 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to the the whole conversation about the charges against Trump and whether he's got a good explanatory defense. Here's his defense, is that, you know, after calling it election interference and fascist and communist and calling Jack Smith a deranged lunatic. I mean, seriously, that was part of the speech.
The prosecutor in the case, I will call it our case, is a thug. I've named him Deranged Jack Smith. I wonder what his name used to be. Jack Smith. It sounds so innocent, doesn't it? Jack Smith. What's his name? Jack Smith. He's a very nice man.
So, of course, he's a raging Trump hater. He even brought his wife into the conversation and criticized her for doing some kind of a puff interview with Oprah.
Mine's not such a nice person. Mine's a deranged lunatic.
Okay, so personal attacks aside, and again, you know, when somebody engages in ad hominem attack, that indicates weakness of their arguments, not strength of their arguments. But the question is, what's his real argument here? He says the wrong law has been applied. It's not an Espionage Act case. It's a Presidential Records Act case. And the Clinton socks defense.
Under the Presidential Records Act, which is civil, not criminal, I had every right to have these documents. The crucial legal precedent is laid out in the most important case ever on this subject, known as the Clinton socks case.
All right. So if you're not familiar with this, it's easy to not be familiar with this. President Clinton was interviewed by a historian while he was in office, and those were taped. It was over the course of several years, and he kept the tapes, the audio files of those interviews, in a sock drawer in his house. Judicial Watch, in 2010, long after Bill Clinton was out of office, asked that those be declared part of the presidential records under the Presidential Records Act, because they wanted the National Archives to take custody of those tapes, put them in the Clinton Presidential Library so they'd be available to the public to look at. And the district judge ruled against them and wrote that, you know, the Presidential Record Act distinguishes official governmental presidential records, which they would have authority over, from personal records that the president has the authority to keep out of the public eye because they're personal records. That's the case. Okay? So what Trump wants to say is that Clinton keeping these audio files in the sock drawer is just like him keeping the boxes of information that he had, including classified information, in the boxes in Mar-a-Lago and the various places, right? That's his argument. It's a terrible argument. The two cases are fundamentally different from a legal perspective. Here's why. The documents that he kept, that Trump kept, are not personal records, diaries, recordings, musings. They're not anything that he generated. That's the difference between personal records and governmental records. The stuff that he's had is governmental records that are operations of the business of the government. And those never belong to him. They're never supposed to be his in his possession, and they certainly aren't personal records. And so all of this long explanation that he went through last night of how the Clinton sock case exonerates him is, you know, not to borrow on a cliche, but it's like somebody got acquitted for owning, you know, an orange, and here he's going to get in trouble for owning apples. I mean, they're just two fundamentally different cases. Now, he also sort of talked about the issue of, being able to declassify things as president, which neither Pence as vice president, nor Biden as vice president, nor Hillary as secretary would have had the authority to do. There's some truth to that, but it doesn't apply to these kind of records. And it certainly, he never did declassify them, as some of the other evidence appears to say. So that's a non-starter also. And oh, by the way, in case you were wondering, the Trump administration actually prosecuted people under this law, under the Espionage Act, and convicted people in their administration for things that are sort of lighter versions even than of what Trump did. 2019, Harold Thomas Martin, sentenced to 9 years in prison for willful retention of national defense information at his home in Maryland while working for the NSA. They're not sure whether he ever leaked any of this stuff, but that's what it took. okay, massive amounts of material over the course of 20 years that he had. Amadadladi, I'm not sure if that's how you say it. It's close. Yasin Sarageldin was a Raytheon systems engineer. And in 2000, he was kind of elderly in Massachusetts, and he was sentenced to 18 months in prison for illegally retaining national defense information, guilty of possessing five documents labeled secret. There were five cases under the Trump administration where people were sentenced to an average of around 4 years. The defendants all pled guilty. The Trump administration prosecuted people for things that it looks like Trump did. And what's worse is he obstructed, he avoided, he resisted when it came to light that he was supposed to give these things back. So it's not just he did the thing, but then he like refused to cooperate when prosecutors were trying, or when, you know, investigators were trying to get the stuff back, and he won't plead guilty. So this was a very frustrating speech for me to listen to last night, because I would so much rather believe that Trump is totally innocent, that he didn't do anything wrong, that precedent will exonerate him, that he did nothing different than any of the other presidents have ever done, and that this is entirely manufactured against him. I was hoping he would lay out why that was last night, and he did not. And the things he did say were so bad as arguments that the natural conclusion a reasonable person draws is, well, if you've got good arguments, why would you offer bad ones as your main ones? And the answer is, because you don't have good ones. So I don't know what his lawyers are going to argue, but based on everything we know now, and we've kind of had his gloss of a legal defense, it's terrible. I don't see how he escapes in this situation. Now, there's a different question here, and the different question is, okay, take all that for granted. Let's say he's guilty. Let's say he did the things, he obstructed all this. Is it appropriate to prosecute? That's a very important question. And I thought Marco Rubio gave a great perspective on this the other day when he said, look, that's the challenge, is that it looks like what he did was wrong, but that doesn't explain that you should be doing it, because you have a known harm to the country from prosecuting a case like this.
But according to the indictment, though, Senator, he did something wrong. He was given plenty of opportunity to return this material, and he did not do that.
And you have to weigh all of that if proven, right? Because indictments are one-sided documents offered by the prosecution. That's why they have trials. You have to weigh that against the overall harm of the country's prosecutorial discretion. It happens all the time. And when you weigh the two things, which is there's no allegation of harm to the country or national security. There's no allegation in there that it was sold to somebody. Not that they should have been there, but there's no. And then you weigh that against the certain harm of this indictment, because it will be certain harm. This will now put all of our institutions into tremendous crisis. The judge will be attacked. The process will be attacked. The Department of Justice will be attacked. The prosecutor will be attacked.
Yeah, you're doing damage to the country by proceeding with the prosecution for what would otherwise be a relatively lesser crime, right? Made worse by his refusal to cooperate. But you have to balance that crime and the possibility of prosecuting on against what it's doing to the country. And it's going to, already has done this to the country. That's exactly, these are prudential concerns, not legal concerns. So 437-1620, feel free to weigh in, disagree, agree, whatever you want to say. 437-1620, I'm Andrew McKay.
This Blue Angels History Minute is presented by Barbary Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the Best of the Bay winner, Barbary Plumbing, at 477-8782.
Some published accounts, including a few from the Navy itself, as to how the Blue Angels got their name are inaccurate. One story says the name was coined at the Cleveland Air Races in 1946 when a reporter, after witnessing the performance, exclaimed, "Those boys are out of this world." The angel word was a natural offshoot of such a phrase, and the name stuck. Another version claims that a man in the grandstands yelled, "God, if they don't look like Blue Angels." Well, those might be interesting side tales, but they're not true. Here's how the Blue Angels really got their name. The press had been referring to them by their official name, the Navy Flight Exhibition Team, or as simply, that Navy Flying Outfit. Thinking a more exciting name would bring added recognition to NAS Jacksonville and the team itself, the base newspaper, the Jacks Air News, conducted a contest with a $10 cash prize to whoever submitted the best name. They were looking for a name with zip and color. Among the names submitted and considered were Sky Dancers, the Flying Buccaneers, the Sea Eagles, Top Notchers, the Skyscrapers, Navy Cats, the Blue Bachelors, the Sky Rocketeers, the Cloudbusters, Stratocats, and Aerocats. But the winning name was Blue Lancers. That's right, the Blue Lancers. The young boy who submitted the winning name got his $10, and the Navy Flight Exhibition Team got a name. So why don't we call them the Blue Lancers anymore? As it turns out, the men of the Blue Lancers didn't much care for the name. Soon, the Blue Lancers were scheduled to perform in New York. In preparation for their trip, they were looking through the New Yorker magazine when they came across an ad for a local nightclub called the Blue Angel. The consensus among the team was immediate. They loved the name. Commander Voris announced the new name to reporters during the pre-show briefing at the World's Fair of Aviation in Omaha, Nebraska on July 26, 1946. Henceforth, they would be known the world over as the Blue Angels. I'll be back with more after this.
Hi, this is Rear Admiral Kyle Kozad, President and CEO of the Naval Aviation Museum Foundation. You are cleared for takeoff at the National Naval Aviation Museum. Before you embark on a day filled with family, friendly fun, and inspirational experiences, don't forget your pre-flight checklist. Flight simulators, 150 beautifully restored aircraft, a virtual flight deck, giant screen theater, world-class guides with service experience, gripping history, and rip-roaring out-of-this-world fun await you at the newly reopened National Naval Aviation Museum.
The Blue Angels get a new plane and lose a pilot in the next chapter of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Is there anything God can't do? The answer is yes. God can't lie, God can't change, and God can't let you into heaven if you haven't been born again. Personally, I was born again in 1988 as a 9-year-old boy. It was then that I realized that I was a sinner and I had broken God's holy and righteous standard. I called upon Jesus to save me from the consequences of my sin. I believed that He was virgin born and lived a sinless life and died in my place and then conquered death by rising from the grave. It was then that I was gloriously born again. If you haven't been born again, if you haven't been saved, today is the day of salvation. I urge you to call upon Christ today before it's eternally too late.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Inconceivable!
You know you needed a little Cyndi Lauper. You know you needed it. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
This brought to you by David's Catfish House. And as we take a look around, good news is we're not showing those slowdowns or delays. David's Catfish House, they are amazing. And I will get that live read for you in just a few minutes. No delays on Burgess or Olive. Gulf Beach Highway, not showing any delays either. Dog Track Road is clear. No issues on Blue Angel Parkway. Speaking of the Blue Angels. And up traffic tips 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. David Wayne now in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
An intelligence report shows the U.S. government buys and stores data on Americans with little oversight. A report from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence shows how federal intelligence agencies are using the availability of for-purchase data. The partially declassified report dated January of 2022. The author was redacted. Food prices are up a little bit as of last month after a drop in the spring. According to the Consumer Price Index, prices at grocery stores are up 0.1% from April to May.
Very good. But inflation overall is down, which is kind of
right,
good news
down
from
to 4%.
We talked about this yesterday. It had been at 9.1 or 2 last June. Now it's at 4%. I already have seen the Biden administration claiming great credit for this. And look, it's not the 1 or 1.5 that it was under Trump, but it's not the 9 that it was last year. So we're somewhere in between. By the way, in case you didn't know, it is Trump's birthday today. He's 77 today. It is also, it's one of these weird, like, super American holidays. 1775, the Continental Army. So the birth of the United States Army was this day in history. Stars and Stripes adopted by Congress as the flag of the U.S. in 1777. And Under God was put into the Pledge of Allegiance by Dwight Eisenhower in 1954.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when Trump was, I got to do the math here, when Trump was 8.
Aw.
Isn't that interesting
Maybe
to think about?
Maybe he suggested it. Traffic was presented by David's Catfish, Dogwood Drive in Milton.
Very good. All right. Dave will have your local news coming up next after Fox, and then we'll talk to Mayor Reeves.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump rallies with supporters in New Jersey after pleading not guilty of federal crimes related to illegally keeping defense documents and lying about it at a courthouse in Miami.
On November 5th, 2024, justice will be done. We will take back our country, and we will make America great again.
He calls a special counsel in the case a thug and deranged. The Vegas Golden Knights are hockey's Stanley Cup champions.
Vegas crushed the Florida Panthers 9-3 to win the NHL Finals Series 4-1 and capture its first Stanley Cup in franchise history. A brief history. The Knights only entered the league as an expansion team in 2017. I'm Eric Messersmith. Fox News.
The Federal Reserve is expected to leave interest rates unchanged at the end of their two-day meeting today, pausing interest rate hikes that started a year ago. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 News Radio 92.3. It is 82. Partly cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. A program that has Pensacola police officers focusing on downtown is expanding their goal to make it a safer place.
We've had a couple of incidents, one specifically where one of my staff members who was pregnant at the time, a homeless person pulled out a knife while she was working with one other staff member.
And that's one downtown business owner, Aaron Fitch. He owns Parlor Donuts downtown. He says he's hoping that program will make a difference. The pilot program currently has two officers, both on day shift. They'll be adding two positions to the night shift as well. The officers focus on the area specifically from Cervantes to the Bay and 9th Avenue to A Street. The positions are funded by the Community Development Agency. The Remote Area Medical Corps, or RAM, is looking for doctors and support staff to volunteer at an event in Milton later this year where free health care is available for the community. The PNJ reporting that that event is being planned for this December at Milton High School. They're recruiting medical professionals well in advance. The pop-up clinic is promoted by RAM typically provide medical, dental, and vision care at no cost. They say no qualifying information is taken, no ID is required. Milton's been an annual stop for the RAM pop-up clinics, with hundreds lining up the night before to get the free medical care. The organization says they're looking for all types of dental professionals, doctors, nurses, support staff, and women's health professionals that are willing to help. Popular convenience store chain Wawa's broken ground on its first Alabama store. That's going to be in Fairhope. A groundbreaking ceremony was held the other day where the store also announced more coming locations in Alabama, presented a $2,500 check to a local food pantry as well. Wawa also has several locations planned here in Pensacola. None of those have broken ground as of yet. The District 1 Medical Examiner's Office in Escambia County are still at odds over where the future District 1 Medical Examiner's Office should be built. During last week's Domes board meeting, Escambia County Commissioner Robert Bender suggested they should have a separate office stay in place at Sacred Heart Hospital.
So how am I going to staff two sites when I don't have the docs?
I need a doctor to do the autopsy. We've got five doctors in the budget.
Correct.
And I understand that. Okay. So there, of course, there would be some times where things don't work. But if you're fully staffed, you can't have one staff that's operating out of Sacred Heart each day of the week.
It is an absurd request.
That interaction with Dr. Deanna Oleski, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, and Walton counties have all already agreed to the plan for that new facility to be built in Santa Rosa County. The three counties appear to be at least considering the possibility of litigation if Escambia County won't agree as well. District 2 Commissioner Mike Kohler planning to put that issue on a future agenda at next month's commission meeting. It is 7:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Candy, what are you seeing?
Hey, not much, really. We're watching an accident in J. Not watching it. It looks like it's been moved off to the side. Escambia Avenue at Spring Street in J. Not showing a roadblock. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, you can text it in at 437-1620. And News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hot and humid day today with a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. Rain chance continues for Thursday, 60% chance of rain with a high near 89. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 76. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. It's 82 and cloudy right now in Pensacola, Gulf Breeze, and Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kuschenko with Your Money Now. It's called greedflation, the practice by many food and consumer companies of raising prices to protect what a new report calls their cushion corporate profits, and it has enabled them to boost margins through the current inflationary period. Consumer advocacy group Accountable.us says companies including Kimberly-Clark, PepsiCo, General Mills, and Tyson Foods have on recent earnings calls touted their ability to raise prices, earning tidy profits and rewarding their shareholders in the process. Tesla has raised prices for its Model Y crossover by $250. The starting price for a Model Y, now $47,740. After cutting prices on its vehicles earlier this year to boost sales, Tesla's been tweaking prices higher. In the first quarter, the Model Y surpassed Toyota's RAV4 and Corolla models to become the world's best-selling car. On Wall Street, futures are mixed after stocks closed higher yesterday. That's Your Money Now.
When was the last time you experienced something new? Really new. Like driving an electric vehicle that will change how you think about EVs. Test drive the 2023 Volkswagen ID4 EV at Beadmore Imports and see the smooth aerodynamic design that is so modern and sleek. You'll think you've driven into the future, and the quiet and powerful ride it delivers needs to be experienced to be believed. So stop by Beadmore Imports to experience something new like never before. And Beadmore Imports fills out their lineup of SUVs and crossovers with the 2023 Taos S, now from $24,999, the Tiguan S from $27,999, and the VW Atlas Cross Sport SE with technology from $39,999. And with finance rates as low as 1.9% available on the Tiguan and Taos, there's something new for every driver at Beadmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Beadmore Imports, New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Sale price before tag, tax, title, and associated dealer fees. Special APR rate for qualifying credit through VCI.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jan Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
When getting the job done right is job one, you need construction equipment that's built right. From compact track loaders to the world's number one selling compact excavator, the Kubota construction lineup features durable Kubota engines, more comfort, and the versatility to do it all and do it right. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Visit the friendly folks at Coastal Machinery, now with 40 years in business, locations in Pensacola and Crestview.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Do be aware that later on today we are expecting some potentially severe weather. We're a 3 out of 5 scale. So I'd like to always remind people, in 2016, we were a 2 out of 5 scale for both tornadoes. So don't write it off as a nothing. Pay attention and be safe when the storms are coming. And, you know, always have your plan and pay attention, all that stuff. Joining us now, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, who is in D.C. So D.C.'s in D.C. again. Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me. Working hard up here, trying to do what we can to advocate for Pensacola.
What brings you to D.C. this time?
Well, really, it's twofold. I mean, one, obviously, is to continue to build relationships, still a new administration, and we want to make sure that we're active in Tallahassee and active in Washington about what the needs of the city are. And I guess from a more timely, topical standpoint, our kind of number one thing we're laying out, we were here all day yesterday, we'll be here until tonight, is getting ready for potential construction of the new airport terminal. I mean, at the end of the day, we really see the funding source really kind of being a third, which is a third federal, a third from the state, and the city bonding a third of the airport. So, this is one of those things where I'm very grateful. It was an early priority to have design completed, and that we got the funding from FDOT, thankfully, right in the first couple months of the administration. But we don't want to get in our situation again where we got a design, it comes off the printer, and we've got no money, and we haven't started anywhere. So the work begins now to make sure that the second that design comes off the printer, or as close as possible, we could be rolling right into construction. So it's a little bit of early planning, but it's necessary if we want to be able to, we're bursting at the seams.
Yeah.
I mentioned in our press conference, it's crazy to think we have 11 gates 10 years ago, and we have 11 gates today, same exact size, except we have 1 million more passengers, 1 million annually. So it's time. And so I don't want there to be any more lag than there's already been in terms of trying to get the design funded.
Do you think you're going to be able to get an additional parking structure also as part of this, or is that going to be on us to build? Because I know you and I talked about this last week, that just randomly on a Tuesday in June, all of a sudden you've got the overflow lot halfway filled.
Yeah, well, look, first of all, we're trying to get some funding for some of the surface parking already that's not waiting on, potential new construction. So
okay,
we're as proactive as we can be on that respect. What you would see, we met with FAA staff at their office yesterday, and we explained to them we have a couple things that we had filed potential grants in January. There was a lot of sustainability, credit or points towards some of these grant applications. So a couple things we put in, for example, was a huge solar canopy that goes over one of the surface lots that could actually produce about 20% of the power that we use at the airport. So perfect, we get shade, it's better parking, it's better for the citizens' vehicles, as well as being able to offset some costs with solar. So that's another, it's about a $4 million-ish ask. And then we've got some other things, some HVAC and whatnot. But I think it's about a $70 million terminal, what we're looking at. And so that's not something that gets funded overnight.
Right.
So that's why we're here. We want to be anticipatory for 2025, early 2025, and try to be ready to go.
I'm gonna suggest something that probably isn't useful, but just in case on the off chance it is, here goes. Our area is looking at as many as 4 parking structures by my count. Community Maritime Park, out on the beach, at the airport, and then there's kind of the on-again, off-again one down at Plaza de Luna on the east side there towards the ferry terminal. I don't know what opportunity there might be to get them budgeted or done as like a package deal from a company. But anyway, that was just the one thought, is maybe nobody had ever connected that. And, in case that winds up being useful at some point, that was my one thought I just wanted to share. We're talking to Mayor D.C.
Go ahead. Look, Andrew, I was going to say, hey, $18,000 a space is what it used to cost for structured parking 4 years ago. It's $34,000 now. So that's the other thing, is this is starting to have a real financial consequence, not only for a city, but for private development. And,
right.
And so I think synergy is even more valuable now, to your point, than it was 5 years ago.
We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. You had a couple of very interesting proposals on the table. One is to put $3.5 million from the Escambia Children's Trust into a purchase and renovation of the Lakeview, Lifeview, Morris Edie Activity Center, to devote it specifically to children, like some other places around the state with their children's trust money have done, right?
That's right. Yeah, I feel really excited about this. Obviously, this has got to go to the trust. It's got to be approved. We understand that process. But we put a lot of legwork in thought and energy into both at the city with Community Health as one of our partners, where they would have a pediatric clinic within this facility, as well as LifeView. This is not something they have to do. This was something that we approached them on. And as well as the Children's Trust certainly being partners in Escambia County. It's right. We really believe that geographically it's put in a great place, both at for the city and for the county.
Right next to Addicts Court, for people who aren't familiar. It's ideally demographic for the kinds of things the Children's Trust is supposed to be doing. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, and you look at all the, you know, census tracts and where the underserved community is, where people lack access to a car, and why would you, at its most simplistic scale, why would you want a facility like this? You want the ability, if a kid has an after-school program or a before-school program, they can get their checkup, their family can be part of that, and it truly becomes the wraparound that we talk about in so many other sectors. It's the wraparound service of saying, hey, we have this kid or this family who doesn't have access to a vehicle. Instead of hoping they come to us, we're trying to come to them, you know, and this is what that effort is. So this money would be to acquire the building from LifeView. The city would operate the facility, would own it. And we bring a lot to the table in terms of we've got the funnel of youth programs. You know, we can jump right in. It's got a gymnasium. So I really, really feel good about what we're putting forward. There's certainly significant dollars in the trust right now, and again, this is not unprecedented. That this is something that trusts have funded before in the state of Florida. So we'll cross our fingers. But if it's approved or it's not approved, what I know is we certainly have put our best foot forward, and we've given this a lot of thought, and we've had a lot of important community partners be part of this.
And I certainly like the idea.
Really excited to see what happens.
Yeah, and I certainly like the idea of taking the lessons learned and the successes had at C.A. Weiss, the community school, and taking those same concepts, just using them in a place that doesn't happen to be a school. I think it's a very, very interesting proposal. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. D.C., hang on for just a second. Let's get Candy in here with traffic on the fives.
And the good news is we're not showing any slowdowns or delays, really. There's an accident in J, but it looks like it has been moved off to the side. If you have a traffic tip, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Another proposal you've got out is to buy the Pensacola Motor Lodge and turn that into basically affordable housing, right, to renovate. This is not going to be cheap. I understand it's not in the greatest of conditions.
Exactly. Look, this is about $1 million investment into affordable housing. And, I've said over the months, whether it be different initiatives, is that we say in affordable housing, you have to be nimble. We have to be able to be proactive, which we have been. We called about several different hotels that could be multi-unit affordable housing that see if we could get online. And this is one that came through first. We'll continue to do that and look for those opportunities. But at the end of the day, 30 units that regardless of the state that they're in, is about $33,000 a unit. You can't build anything anywhere close to that, maybe even the studs for that.
Yeah, even tiny homes are more than that, right?
Correct. So we're going to get in there, and we got 90 days of due diligence. We're going to get in there and see what kind of condition. Obviously, if there's something that makes this not be able to work, we'll adjust from there. But the vote was to make sure that we were authorized to have the funds. We've agreed on price. There's been some communication back and forth from the seller about length of due diligence and, you know, when money goes non-refundable and some things like that. But we should be able to work through all of that. And my hope is the city's not trying to get into the landlord business. That's not what we want to do. What we want to do is let's take a place that has 30 units and let's find an operator who does this for a living. And a nonprofit, and there's plenty of these all over the country that do exactly this, not just that they go rehab units, that they rehab hotels. And let's find, you know, they'll know certainly a lot more about the insights and how it could be best used better than I will. And so we'll listen to what those proposals are, and we're willing to put the property up partially, totally, based on what they're going to provide to the city and provide to our community. So I think we're open-minded about the type of affordable housing. I've gotten that question a lot. Is it going to be homeless transitional? Yeah. Is it going to be 30% AMI? I think we're going to let the folks who know this well look at what we have in front of us and dictate from there. So
that makes sense.
But regardless, it, not only is it the win here, but also from a public safety standpoint. You know, this has been a property with 2,100 service calls the last 10 years. I believe we've had 13 violent crimes the last 26 months. So there's value built into the fact of just getting this acquired and decreasing the labor and the ability for our police department to be working other situations and keeping people safe.
I mean, all of that. That all makes good sense.
Here. Yeah.
And one thing, just
to see what happens. And yeah.
Just it's a smaller note, but I just want to make sure we make it because I don't ever get to say these words. The railroad company said yes to something. the expansion of the Bayou the Bayou Tahar Boardwalk. They've agreed to this, right?
Yeah, I had to read it twice myself. new acquisition by Rail USA, a guy named Ryan Ratledge, and this is again why you try. It's why you're in Washington D.C. You try to stay busy and stay active, building relationships. This is solely out of the discussions and meetings with Rail USA about Amtrak, where the ownership of their rail starts just west of the current, the city's train station.
Right? Okay,
it's obviously not being used that way. They own it from there all the way east to Jacksonville. So they acquired it, and we started to have conversations about partnering together on Amtrak. And it's one of those things came across, I give Brad and Public Works a lot of credit. They're like, hey, if you're starting to build a good positive relationship with them, this came up 5 years ago. You know, are you willing to run this to see what they say? And that's what we did. So it's being resourceful about something that died on the vine about 4 or 5 years ago because of difficulties with the previous owner. And, so Ryan, the CEO, gave him a ton of credit, said, hey, if it's good for the community, we'll look at it. They did. And their team got with our team. And so the big hurdle is now complete. That's okay. With us going ahead and moving forward. So the timeline will be, we're looking at a holistic approach for Wayside. We've got a seawall to fix. We've got parking lot post, 3 mile bridge construction to fix. So we're trying to not piecemeal that too much in terms of trying to be synergistic, saving costs. But nonetheless, that is huge for us. If you've ever been down there, I mean, there are families, bikes, that are going out under the graffiti bridge. That's the only way to
get
through.
It's a terribly unsafe scenario. You're exactly right.
No question. So, I mean, you think about how many homes in the city, East Pensacola Heights, East Hill, all these neighborhoods with tons of families, tons of people living, that is the most efficient way to get down to the waterfront. And that's just not good enough. So,
no, it's not. And connectivity is going to be great. No, kudos to you. I mean, that's a huge just to be able to say we built a relationship, we got a yes out of the railroad. That's fantastic. The lightning round we always like to end with. First question for you is, when you go into a store, do you like or dislike having somebody say, hi, can I help you?
I actually like it. Go ahead and get it out of the way so you don't scare me, whenever I'm in aisle two, right behind my shoulder.
So, all right. Yeah. Second question is, Wheel of Fortune, Pat Sajak is retiring. Would you consider the job?
I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could do that. There's a lot of disingenuous host type attitude you have to have. I don't know.
Always smile and nod and don't say anything insulting, right? That's the job.
Right. But you do that now.
He does. That's the job of a diplomat, right? All right, last one. This is going to be our frivolous.
I'm genuinely always like that.
There you go. That's right.
I mean, he's like that now.
Okay, last one. This is going to be our frivolous topic for the day later. What was the first movie you watched that was like kind of, the R adult, had some content in it that you can remember? What was DC's first that movie?
Vividly remember this. My stepbrother was 8 years older, and my dad somehow, I must have been 10 or 11, it brought me to see White Men Can't Jump. I remember this in the movie theater. Absolutely. Wow.
All right.
I was definitely too young to see that movie. I don't remember. Maybe I was 10 or 11. My stepbrother was 19. He was more of the age that would enjoy that movie. But I remember watching this, and I was like, there's no way my dad wanted me to see this movie. There's no way.
Two points for Rosie Perez.
Yeah, I was going to say, wow, you really got something there, right? All right, very good. Mayor D.C. Reeves, have a productive rest of your trip in Washington, D.C., and we'll look forward to talking to you next week. As always, thank you for the time, sir.
All right, Candy Andy, thank you so much.
Oh, that's payback. That's fine. I'll take it. 7:54 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Do you have heart failure and often hear,
"Those stomach issues ruined your birthday.
You're too tired to play catch, Grandpa."
Sweetie, you haven't touched your tools since the carpal tunnel syndrome diagnosis.
If these seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, talk to your cardiologist and ask about transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy, or ATTR-CM, a rare and underdiagnosed disease that gets worse over time. Learn more at connecttoyourheart.com. That's connecttoyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Is your house making you sick? Learn about the hazards lurking in your home that can affect your health due to high humidity levels and excess moisture. High humidity levels and excess moisture inside the home are the leading cause of insect infestation, mold, mildew, musty odors, and fungi, which can result in making you sick. Condensations on windows and vents, blistering or peeling paint, and cupping of hardwood floors are all signs of high humidity levels and excess moisture. Learn more today at 9 on Pep Talk with Lisa Murphy from Southern Climate Solutions.
Now it's time for another tip from ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Many businesses in our area ask us point blank, "Why do I need you," meaning ADX Digital, "to do my business's digital marketing? Why can't I just do it on my own with Facebook and Google?" Well, just because you can does not necessarily mean you should. The reality of it is digital marketing is constantly changing, growing, and evolving. Are you up to date with the latest advancements? Trained in the latest technologies and platforms? Do you really have the time to design all the ads on your own? Read the ebooks, plan the campaign, and begin to try to learn all of this stuff yourself? Aren't you already responsible for holding down the workload of 2-3 full-time jobs already? It's time you contact our trusted team of media experts at ADX Digital. We are your trusted team for community partnerships and radio marketing, and a comprehensive list of opportunities available for you in the online digital marketing space. We invite you to email us today at connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com to get started on your path to a digital marketing partnership.
ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola today and stay informed about what's happening in your community. We're here to keep you connected. News Radio Pensacola, informative, local, dependable.
You're hit. You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Yeah, 7:57, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, David Lee Roth. I'm Andrew McKay. Candy's got traffic for you.
There's not much happening, which is good. Very, very light. We've had a lucky couple of days, I guess, right? 87.
Shh, don't you dare.
I'm not saying it like that, God. Dude. It has not been the perfect game. I know we have a sports reporter in here, too, who's probably going to beat me up for saying that. It has not been. There's been an accident in Jay, but it looks like it's been moved off to the side. We're not showing any slowdowns. Taking a look at the 3-mile bridge, or the General Chaffee James Bridge. St. Bridge. It's clear in both directions, of course. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It's we're the fifth inning now, and there's been nobody on bases. Perfect game going so far. I'm Candy with your... Sorry.
You guys can both kiss my butt, you know what I mean? And we both know I'm bad at sports. Hello, way, not just from looking at me.
By the way, I love the, Chaffee James 3-mile same bridge. Like, I'm sure there's some people that are like,
to know.
Did we build a new bridge? Well, yeah and no.
Asked, like, don't we still call it the General Chaffee James? Because it is kind of a new name, and I just wanted to catch on to honor General Chaffee James. The General Chaffee James Bridge.
Pensacola Bay Bridge. All right, I'll move on. 437-1620.
Why are you doing this right now? We're also training somebody who's wonderful in this new edition,
Kate,
but we'll get
great.
To that in just a second.
Our ESPN person who's over here learning how to... She's
learning,
the best.
Yeah, right. She can school us a lot.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A 911 call revealing that the Unabomber Ted Kaczynski committed suicide in prison by hanging himself. TMZ reporting that an official at the prison in North Carolina called in that suicide on Saturday morning. Demolition underway in Davenport, Iowa on that 6-story apartment building that collapsed late last month. That collapse killed 3 people and hurt several others. And there's an asteroid about as big as the Brooklyn Bridge passing by Earth tomorrow. It'll pass by at a distance of 1.9 million miles.
It's
missed us.
It's almost 8 moons away. I'm not worried. But a Brooklyn Bridge is a large enough bridge. I know what the problem is. When Kate came in, she said we were super professional, and now we got to prove her wrong. That's what we do.
Late.
That's awesome.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most.